you got your Bibles, will you turn to Luke chapter number 7? Good to see each and every one of you. I wish these school systems would get their act together. We got Kanawha County out this week, and then I think the week before Easter, Putnam County's out, and who, under God, we don't know who else is going to be out. Amen? But it is good to see each and every one of you. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 7. Usually I'll have you stand, but I've got several scriptures I'm going to read. I'm going to kind of interpret as I go in this passage of scripture. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Aren't you glad he looked beyond your fault and saw your need? I was thankful last night we had two saved in our frontline addiction program. Somebody say amen right there. That's literally pulling people out of the heat, pulling them out of the fire. The dropouts, the deadheads, those that society's given up on and most churches have given up on, I'm glad we haven't given up on. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad that I got a God that has remedy for anything that's going on in your life. And we're in a series right now, and we'll just continue in our series. Look at Luke chapter number 7. Name of the series is The Testimony of the Two. The last time I preached on two builders. By the way, you're either building on the solid rock or you're building on sand. There's no in between. You're not, there's not a other alternative. You're either building on Christ or you're building on your own flesh. You're building on yourself. And if you build on yourself, your life will fall. You will collapse because the storms are going to come on to everybody. Hey, by the way, it rains on the just and the unjust. I want to ask a question before I start reading. This is a great question to ask. I want you to meditate before you answer. Do you love the Lord? Let me say it again. Do you love the Lord? You know what? The world needs more than seeing our lip service. Somebody say amen. The world needs to see our life. And by the way, there's a big difference between lip service and life service. Somebody help me preach. Let's look in the passage of Scripture. Start with me at verse 36, and I'm just going to kind of go through here and preach a little bit as I go till I get to the thought. But I just want to go and do an exegesis of this passage of Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 36, if you're there, say amen. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he should eat with him. And he went in unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, if you know anything about a Pharisee was a legalist. They were a person that paid their tithes. They went to church faithfully. They fasted twice a week. On the outside, they looked real good. By the way, there's a lot of people know how to dress up on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. Somebody help me preach. And then the Bible said, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, we're all sinners. Why would he point out which was a sinner? I think I know. She was a known sinner. Most people believe she was a prostitute. Most people believe she was a harlot. Most people believe she sold her body to get wealth. That's what most interpret. She was a sinner. She was a prostitute. And here's what happened. Jesus was invited into the Pharisee's house, and she kind of stuck in herself. You say, why in the world would she even go in there in the first time? I really think I know. Because she heard about Jesus.
Amen.
By the way, if you ever hear about his healing, about his love, about his mercy, about his power, about his majesty, you just want to sneak right on in yourself.
You're right, preacher.
I'm sensing a little preach coming on me. I'm coming on Sunday. If you'll just give me, be patient with me. She had an alabaster box of ointment. Now, I want to challenge us all. I don't think we need to equate her with the other lady with the alabaster box of ointment, because we know that was Mary Bethany.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I right? Yes, so I personally believe this was another lady with an alabaster box of ointment who was a prostitute, and she used that ointment in her work. She would get herself smelling real good so she could entice the men. But in this passage of Scripture, she comes in unaware, snuck in, not in front of him, but in behind, stood behind him. Somebody help me preach. Stood behind him. By the way, I believe she had a humble spirit. Somebody say amen right there. She stood behind him and washed his feet, was crying over him. And look at verse 39. And the Pharisee, by the way, they still with us today. I know a lot of independent Baptist Pharisees. I think some of them are worse. You say, you're an independent Baptist. I am, but I ain't proud of a bunch of them. Look what he said in verse 39. Y'all follow me. The Bible said in verse 38, she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now notice in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. In other words, he didn't speak out loud. Right? How many got that? He did a little bit of internal mumbling. Right? Well, if he was a prophet, really, he didn't know what kind of person that was washing his feet and crying on him. And he didn't know she's an old wicked sinner. That's what he did. Somebody help me preach. How many of y'all agree with me he had a bad attitude? Just mumbling it. Did it with inside of himself. And then Jesus said, how many of y'all know, I don't want to upset your apple cart this morning, but he already knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your mind. He knows what you're saying before you say it. He knows what you're thinking that you like to say that you won't say. You say, no. Jesus don't know that much. I want you to know he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. Somebody help me preach. Y'all still with me? She just knew what kind of woman this was. This old boy was proud of himself. Then look with me in verse 40. This is amazing, Chad. And Jesus answering said unto him. Now he didn't say anything to Jesus. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
But Jesus said, well, since you said it, I thought I'd talk to you.
Amen.
I'm just trying to set the stage here. Y'all with me? How many still with me and you're not dead yet? I know you had to put your clock up an hour. I did too, and I didn't want to get out of bed, but you ought to wake up. This old boy was used to bragging about himself because he kind, he was good, he looked good on the outside. But Jesus said, I want to talk to you. And look what this boy was arrogant. Well, say it on.
Yep.
Speak on, Master. Say on. Yeah. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is getting ready to say on. Isn't he? Go ahead and look at with me. Are y'all following me? And Jesus answered unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said there was a certain, and now Jesus is going into the parable that I'm going to be preaching on. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now notice what he said. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. One day in our life, we had nothing to pay. We had nothing to pay. We were all bankrupt sinners. We were on our way to hell with nothing to pay. But the Bible said he frankly forgave them both. Woo! And then he looked at Simon. Quiz time, Simon. We got Simon. You're Simon. Simon, I forgave 500 for that person and 50 for that person. Which one should be rejoiced more? Who did he forgive the more?
I suppose the one he forgave the most.
Thank you, Simon. Isn't that what he said? Look, let's look at it. Somebody, y'all still following me? The Bible said, verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon, which one's going to love him the most? Again?
The one he forgave the most.
Well, you're right. I don't know why, but I want all y'all to know whether you were saved at 5 years old or 60 years old, it took the same grace to save all of you. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, it took the same blood for the 5 year old as it did the 60 year old. But I will have to tell you, some of the greatest shouters and some of the most enthusiastic people are the people who realized where they were. Somebody help me preach. I tell you what I call them people. They can't help it, people. They can't help but shouting.
Amen.
They can't help but praising. Amen. They just can't help it because they know what God brought them to. You ever met one of them? They got a hair trigger. They ready to shout. You just give them something to shout about. Just say Jesus, now shout. They got a hair trigger. I wish some of y'all would get a hair trigger. I wish some of y'all had some kink to help it. I want you to know, some of you have forgot where God brought you from. The hell he brought. Somebody help me preach. I'm going somewhere. Let me tell you, he had a changed life. And he changed his lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You a morning person? I used to be somewhat, but I ain't no more. I hate it. I just hate getting up out of bed. I'm not morning anymore. And I've been like that in a while. I was in a camp meeting. You ever been in a camp meeting? You ever been one of them camp meetings where they started about 9 and preached about 4?
Yeah.
Gave you a little lunch and started back at 6:30.
Yeah.
And you ever been one?
Uh-huh.
I have. I remember one in particular. You ever been one? How many have been one of them? And by the way, you know, when you're a guest preacher like me, and I was a guest preacher that weekend, you know, I was out fellowshipping like everybody do. They're eating chicken and pizza at night. And, you know, that ain't good. So I went, I'll never forget that camp meeting I went into. And I'm sitting about where Jared Green is. And there's a guy sitting about where Chuck Woods is right behind me. And now we're in the first service now. And this guy When they hear amazing grace, they started shouting and screaming and worshiping. And I'm thinking, I ain't woke up yet, sir. And started, woo, woo, woo. He wooed and shouted. I never heard the first preacher's sermon. So I was irritated first. How many's ever been irritated? Right in church. I was a little, just a little frustrated because I wasn't perked up and he was. So I just tell you what I done. I just went over to him. I'm going somewhere. Y'all get me here in a minute. I went over to him. But I said, sir, you've been shouting since the bell started. You shouted before they got the first word of amazing grace out. And you shouted, and be honest with you, at first I kind of aggravated with you, but now I like it. What in the world you shouting about anyway, boy? He looked up at me, he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm shouting about. There was a time in my life that they had me up for murder, and I was an old dope head. And God delivered me. And God saved me by the grace of God. And God washed me from my sins. And God moved in my life and changed me. Called me to preach. I love Jesus. And I thought, and he started shouting and started running around. And I just thought, well, I'll just hook up with him. But I started shouting too. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever remember where God brought you from, you ever remember the pit that he brought you from, you ever remember how deep in sin you were, and God loved you, you'll want to shout too. Oh, I remember another story. This one wasn't mine. I was told from a preacher friend of mine who's crazy as I am. He was down in Burlington preaching. This preacher friend of mine, you know him. He's crazy. If I told you, you know how crazy he is. You can just imagine who it is. El Nuthead. He said he was down in Burlington. Three guys was having revival. Same city. And had a fancy Dan guy who was preaching in the formal church. Then they had this guy who's preaching in a little country church. Then had a black fella that was preaching in the black church. And what they done, they talked about each other's sermons when they got back. Well, the fancy Dan guy can't preach very well anyway. In the dead church, came back first. Then our buddy Lois came back second. Then the black guy comes in about 2 hours later. And you and my fella looked at him and said, what in God's name was you preaching on today for 2 hours? He said, I preached on you got used to it syndrome. And he said, well, tell me what you said. He said, well, in the black church, we got people got used to getting saved. In the black church, we got people got used to being syndrome over not going to hell anymore. We in the black church, we had people that, woo! That come and worship every week and had just got the used to it syndrome. I want all y'all to know we got some people at Tate Valley Baptist Church that's been into the used to it syndrome. You got so used to being saved. You got used to your delivered from hell. But if it ever dawned on you what God done for you, you start shouting. You start raising your hand. You start praising his name. Somebody help me. And I know what some of you yahoos are thinking right now. Well, he hadn't even got to his first point yet. Hello? Verse 43. Y'all there? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom you forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Whoo! Now notice this. You're Simon, by the way. You're Simon. And right there's the woman with the alabaster. So, you will, how many said verse 44? Raise your hand. And he turned to the woman. And I'm paraphrasing. He turned to the woman that he's talking to Simon. And he said, this woman come in. She kissed me. She's washed my feet with her tears. She washed me. Is that in the Bible? How many's reading that with me? How many's reading it? And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman, I entered into the house that thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. So what is he doing here? I can't believe I'm at 11:13 and it just now starts. He's making a divine comparison. These two are going to testify. Somebody say amen. How many's ready for the points? Number one, in verse number 42, there was an unpayable debt. They had nothing to pay. Can I tell you? There was a day I came and I had nothing to pay. I had a sin debt and had nothing to pay. I remember Daniel 5. How many remember Daniel 5? Where when Daniel went in to Belshazzar and said, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Can I tell you where we were? On this side was God's sovereignty. On this side was God's justice. On this side was God's mercy. On this side was God's holiness. But on this side was my sin. And on this side was my depravity. And on this side was my ungodliness. And on this side was my misery. And on this side was my guilt. And I want you to know the scales were out of balance. But you said, what got them in balance? I'll tell you what got them in balance. 2,000 years ago, there was a Savior that came and died on the cross and leveled the balance. And the ground is level at Calvary. Somebody help me. Woo! Now what you're going to find here, a comparison. You're going to have a convicted person in this chapter and an unconvicted person. How many knows that? The Pharisee's the guy that fasted twice a week. Pharisee was the guy who went to church every day. Pharisee was the guy that prayed all the time. But I call him the unconvicted guy. We got a whole church full of them. Somebody help me preach. I'm preaching every pet sin I got. I heard a fellow one time. I knew him. He preached against TV. And if that's float your boat, preach against it. And I hope every one of you get under conviction about it. If you got an 85 incher, get under conviction about it. Give it to me, will you? Y'all still love me? But this dude, He had that situation. But I knew that he had internet in his house. He'll preach on TV, but he had internet, and he watched the internet boob tube. Hello. I'll tell a story of the past here. Somebody said, why don't you, we've got a big church, why aren't you bigger? Because I have a good way of running people off, and I can't help it. Years ago, I just can't take a Pharisee. I just can't take it. I can't take it. And I have pastored a few in my day. But the one that takes the cake is a fella years and years and years ago. Now, y'all know we've always run buses. Now we run them on Sunday night. And I don't want to lie to y'all. Them kids don't dress right. I mean, they come up, some of them midwinter come with shorts on. And they never wear dresses. The girls don't. They're poor. Hello? And I had this guy. I went out with him on Thursday night soul winning. I hate it when the guy puts me with somebody I kind of don't like. But I won't follow authority. And I went. Knowing I don't care much. I loved him, but I sure didn't like him. He's crazy. So he gets me out in the car. He said, somehow, some way, you need to pay for those bus kids' dresses for them girls. I said, do what? I said, well, I did pay for them. The parents probably sell them and get money out of them. And he said, I just been wanting to tell you something anyway. I said, what do you want to tell me? I said, say on. He said, why don't you start having some gumption about you and some guts and preach on how women dress? That's what he said. I said, what would you have me preach about? He said, I don't think they ought to ever have slacks. I said, then you don't want them to come to church if they had slacks on. Nah, I know better. He said, I ain't even talking about that. I'm talking about some of your church people up there that they wear dresses every once in a while in church, but they wear slacks outside the church all the time. How many of y'all know me that it then got up to here with me?
Yeah.
I said, okay, buddy. Okay, buddy. He said, you're making this up. No, I'm not either. Too crazy to make up. I said, okay, buddy. Give me the text and I'll do it. He said, go over in Deuteronomy. He said, not to dress like mankind. I said, well, that's kind of out of context, but okay. I said, what I'll do, I'll go Sunday and I'll preach on it. But, first things first, I'll only do it if you and your wife quit smoking. Hello? But a stinking, rotten Pharisee sticking down your nose to somebody else and your sin is bigger than theirs is. We ought to be raising our hand that our debt's been paid and we aren't in the hell, but we're saved by the grace of God. Somebody help me preach.
Amen. Preach on now.
And he left church Sunday. Ain't being back. I'm sorry. I'm glad. Any outfit. We all got junk in our life. We all probably got stuff we could do better. But before you look your nose down to some other dirty, rotten sinner, you ought to look at yourself where God brought you from and your wickedness and know how great God's been. Am I? I thought maybe I just sunk the boat. See, that's an example of unconvicted. Huh? Anybody ever read Isaiah 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5? Have you? Do you know what the common theme was? Probably. Come on, remember. I'll.
Isaiah saw the Lord lifted.
Oh, no, that's chapter 6. Don't get ahead of me. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. He said, woe unto them.
Yeah.
Chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train in the temple, and he quit saying woe unto them. And he said, woe unto me. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to look at our life and say, woe unto me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, walking in a world of unclean people. But I'm glad for the grace of God that paid my debt and washed me from my sin and set me upon the solid rock. Somebody ought to shout.
Yes, sir.
And then that woman, she's a picture of convicted because she's in behind him. Kissing his feet and washing his feet with her hair. You know what the Bible said hair is on a woman? How many of y'all know, ladies, that your hair is your glory? Somebody will get that in a moment and start shouting. She was taking her glory and wiping his feet. Instead of some of us wanting always to get the glory, always had to be right, and always had to be the guy that we never do anything wrong. We ought to just take our glory and give it to God because he paid a debt that we cannot pay.
Good preaching.
All right.
Good preaching.
All right, verse 42. Whoo. I just got out of breath. Hold on. Not a bunch of Pharisees still today. David, they all are able to pick a fault here and pick a fault here. They never look at somebody's heart. They never look at somebody's situation. Always picking a fault. Number 2, verse 42. I said unmerited deeds. Look at that, somebody. Y'all there? And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? I didn't deserve to have my debt canceled. And you might say, why? Whew! Did he cancel our debt? And told the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Why would he do that anyway? I think I know. He loves us. He loves me when I'm up. And he loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in. And he loves me when I'm out. Woo! He loves me. Have y'all ever study the New Testament? There's only 4 chapters in the New Testament that has 1 chapter to it. Did you know that? Yeah. 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Philemon. And in Jude and Philemon's case, those chapters were written to open the door to the next one. Jude was written to open the door to Revelation. Philemon was written to open the door to Hebrews. You with me? Some of y'all ain't with me yet, but they're going to get with me. You said, what's Philemon about? Philemon's about a runaway slave whose name was Onesimus, who found himself by the providence of God in the same jailhouse as Paul. And Paul looked at Philemon and witnessed to him and led him to Jesus, Onesimus, and led him to Jesus. And then Paul wrote a letter and had Onesimus to take it back to Philemon. Oh, I'm about ready to run. You said, what's in that letter? Read the book of Philemon. What's in that letter is Paul said, if this boy owes you any more, just put it on my account. How many can raise your hand and say glory? That one day I couldn't pay account. But Jesus stepped into the volume of the book because I said it led to Hebrews. A better way. A better covenant. A better sacrifice. Whoa, a better priesthood. Whoa, hallelujah. Whoa. I want you to know something, friend. God took old runaway slaves like me and you to open us up to the mercy and the grace of God. All right. What are you saying there, sitting there so stoic about? Well, thank you for smiling. How am I doing, Ted? Don't you remember when you were a runaway sinner? You were the pace car. You're running in sin. But God put your sin on somebody else's account. And that somebody is Jesus, who took your place. Lastly, I'm done. You give me extra time today and I'm still going over. I see an unselfish demonstration. This Pharisee wasn't moved. And I know some of y'all, feet stink. How many agree with me? Feet stink. The custom of the day was when you come in to a house, they would do this. Greet you with a holy kiss. Then they would wash your feet because they stank. And then, because you were hot and sweaty, they'd put some ointment on you to try to get that sweat. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Whew. You know what this woman did? She took the ointment, put it on his head, kissed his feet, washed it with his hair. You know what she said? I want to do my best. And I want to give my all. I wonder how many walked in church this morning. I didn't feel real good this morning, to be quite honest with you. But I tell you, I determined to give it my all. I feel like I probably is going to be a flop this morning because I feel terrible this morning. But you know what? I decided I'm going to give it all even if I feel bad. And he said to her, thy faith. And then what did he say? Go all the way down there. He said, Lord, where is it, Chad? At verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Can I give you a little nugget, Chad? Faith is the root of salvation. Love is the result of salvation. And peace is the riches of salvation. Two letters. You know, a lot of things happen to us in life that we're not pleased with. But can I tell you what? I can go to bed at night. You may have to help me up, Chad. I can go to bed at night lay my sweet head down, put my CPAP mask on, look like Darth Vader, and start sleeping peacefully. Because I am not going to hell no more.
Like, amen.
I have been washed in the blood.
Amen.
I have peace with God. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. If something happened to me today, I'm in God's hands.
Amen.
Whatever happens, I'm with the Lord.
Amen.
Woo! How about you? How about you, sir? How about you that's unsaved? Why don't you get up here? You got a debt you can't pay. And how about some of you that's saved that's got over it? Oh, you're still saved. I'm not going to judge you. But you got over it. It's not real anymore. You've lost yourself. You lost your joy. You lost your guts to do more for God. I'll tell you why. You forgot that you're a debtor. You ought to be in hell. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Home high. Thank you. How many don't know for sure you're saved, but you got a debt you can't pay? And you know if you die, you're going to hell. And slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Raise your hand. Come on. Slip it up. I see a hand. Somebody else. Slip it up high. How many in this church? Yeah, you're saved. But you kind of got over it. It ain't real like it used to be. You've even got a little pharisaical, a little judgmental. Oh, you're willing to pick apart somebody that's got their little faults. But what about yours? Let me right now say, Preacher Smith, I need real revival in my life. I'm a debtor, but I ain't been enjoying my salvation like I should. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Oh, Pastor, yeah. I wonder how many would be willing to come up around the altar and just say, Lord, I love you. I couldn't pay what you paid. But I want to tell you this morning, I love you. Father, as our people stand, help folks just come around and worship a little bit and praise you. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.